The 2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota Footy. Oh, what a feeling. Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. Footy's on the radio. And your front row.
For the Fiat Ducato with up to 15 cubic metres of cargo capacity. Move with more grunt.
Welcome to the Saturday Rub.
For McDonald's Family McValue Box.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, no. It's taken us to get five rounds in, Bristol, and it's all blowing right up. Right up. And I love it because I'm one out and one back, and I can just cop some of this business.
Oh, no.
There are supposedly big operators in this town who are swaggering around. Oh, I can't believe it. Every now and then, these golden nuggets, Bristol, just land in our lap. Ouch. Oh, I can't wait for today. Ollie Warrens is going to join us. Daniel G in Syracuse is going to join us. Yeah. Brian Taylor's here. Wayne Carey's here, as is, of course, Damien Barrett.
If you're about to play footy, don't.
Fearless operators. Now, Bristol. It has come to our attention that during the week, a couple of media types faced off.
A peace pipe meeting, we could call it. So this was at a pub in South Melbourne, JB.
Come on.
And Robbo, is his name, from the Herald Sun, decided he needed to smoke the peace pipe with Hutchie. From Channel 9. Because apparently, Robbo, I didn't see it, had written something not so nice in the papers about the footy show.
Oh, I hadn't seen it either.
So an informal meeting was constituted.
Right.
And apparently it went something like this upon Robbo's arrival at the pub in South Melbourne. Apparently the opening line went like this. The writer of the bad words against the footy show said in a very calm manner. Now, he said, let's not beep around. Everyone at my paper thinks you're a beep.
Oh, no.
And I am the captain of that beep team. I think that's how it went, wasn't it?
Well,
I've also had it on good authority that in response to Robbo's introduction to the meeting, that Hutcher responded, everyone at Channel 9 thinks you're a beep, 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 beep.
Gave him quite a few beeps.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I hope our man, the V8 supercar driver, returned fire.
Well, I would hope he did, Jim.
This is how it went. This was a meeting in South Melbourne. Dunno, heard anything about it? You're close to Hutch.
I was aware of it after it happened, yes, but I'm not aware of those specifics, BT.
Have you spoken to the other alleged informant?
I have heard that it definitely happened.
Yep.
And it was, I think a few of those beeps were certainly in there, my understanding. Although they were said in a very calm manner, not in an aggressive manner, but in a calm conversational manner, but a lot of beeps.
Because beeps don't normally wander into a calm conversation.
I agree, but my understanding is they were in a very calm.
But how could they be? Because when you listen to the words, upon arrival,
how do you know this was said?
Let's not mess around. Everyone at this,
that has been ticked off on. That has definitely been said.
Thinks you're a blonk.
Yes.
So my understanding is our great mate Pix on the very good show that he runs with Hutchie.
Yeah,
what's it called again?
Off the Bench.
I should know, but his quality.
It is very good.
Pix was the first one to just ease this out into the ether.
Apparently, I've been on a plane all morning, but apparently he has addressed it with Craig.
And what did the supercar driver say about it?
Didn't hear it, Jim, but I think he's got a version of it, BT, that might be in slight conflict with what you just said, I think, but... What? But who knows? Who knows?
And all I know about Hutchie, and have been a great mate of Hutchie's for years, is no one loves being in the middle of this sort of thing more than him. Does he?
Yeah.
You can just see his look, can't you? Oh, really?
Because I'm known to a lot of people. He does not care, Jim.
No.
That's the beauty of him.
Anyway, so a major stoush between two major players.
That is it. And any sort of ramifications, Bristle, or anywhere it's headed?
Yeah, where's it go from here, BT?
Nothing. Well, it's Mickey Warner. This is, he just went whack, whack in when he disagreed with something. Has Robbo not got the old whack-whack in him?
Wow.
Well, Hutchie certainly hasn't.
Yeah.
No. I'm not sure where it's going. But
you've had issues with both people, Duck. Who would you back in this situation?
Oh, mate, you don't sort things out with violence.
Well, who would you back if it came to intellect?
Oh, intellect? Oh, good question. I'm not sure. I reckon I'd back Robbo in a sort of an altercation, though.
Would you?
Yeah. I don't think Hutchie can handle himself, can he?
Oh, I think he could if he had to.
He's been training for the show.
But anyway, we just had to get it out off the top because it's been sitting out there, Bristle. And one thing we do at Triple M is address stuff.
And it was we do. And it was a bit unfair, Robbo, to put that sort of stuff in the paper. So, you know.
All right. Okay. I didn't actually see what he said. But all right. Let's talk a bit about – now, I'll tell you what. Before we get to last night, my man here, the Bristler,
this is why I didn't deliver that too well because I'm thinking of leaving.
Bristle, you've already blown the AFL landscape to the shizen already this year with the Bombs, but today there's one that will just stand by.
Well, he's laminated the sheet that he's written on today, Jim.
Just stand by is all I'm saying.
He's got a laminating machine at home. He laminates everything to its eyeballs.
He laminates,
he just laminates
bogus car parking tickets. And
he's got laminated his phone. Laminate a drink bottle?
I just suggest that you do not leave your chariot, or if you're out the back in the shed and you're putting something together, don't leave there.
Do you know about it?
And if your beautiful other half comes and says, look, I'd love you to come for a walk with me and we'll have a coffee, to her, listen, doll, just let's make that 1:30 when we go and do that, because I ain't leaving 105.1 until I've heard what Brian's got, I'm telling you, it will explode the landscape.
It's being legaled at the moment.
Well, that's how good it is.
Yes.
And also, Duck as well has got something very nice by way of a helping. So
yeah, I know what that one is, Jim, and I'm not going to look forward to that one.
Well, so there's two that have to be heard to be believed.
Duck, the man that doesn't waste a minute.
Let me assure you that you do not need to go anywhere. Ollie Wines are going to join us. Gia is going to join us. Bob Murphy plays his 300th. So there's lots to look forward to. A poxy game last night.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game. But I think we learn a little bit about Port Adelaide, that they're not the top four contender, but they are a contender for finals footy, and they are a much better side, obviously, than Carlton. We also learnt that Carlton are probably not going to win as many games as they did last year. They won 7 last year, probably 4, 5, 6, somewhere about that. I think, Duck, I think you said that last night.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, look, they're just young kids now, a younger side since 2008, I think it was.
5 players only that have played 100 games or more.
They just got blown out of the water. They had their chances in the first half. They kicked poorly. It was a really bad game, actually. Port Adelaide got off to a good start. But then, you know, I agree with you. And I know
Port haven't been the top side yet, have they?
Sydney.
They beat Sydney.
Round one. Which you'd say was a good win.
But they lost all three after that.
They lost to Adelaide and GWS.
We did say last night, I think someone said in the broadcast last night, we think they can make the 8, but probably not win the premiership. Well, yeah. I think that's a load of crap. And the Bulldogs proved that last year. You finished 7th. They won the flag. I think now, because of that bye, and I think the closeness of the competition shows you that if you make the 8 and you're at your peak form at the right time of the year, you're capable. So therefore, if Port do that, I think they're capable. If they run, and I know it was against poor opposition, but if they run
you're saying they're capable of winning the premiership.
Well, I tell you what they did. They would have beaten any other team other than Adelaide.
Answer the question.
They got beaten by GWS.
Yeah.
The two top teams at the moment in the best form in the comp. They're
right
the only
now,
two teams
but,
that have beaten Port.
Right now, can they win the premiership?
No. You know why, BT?
Because it's
April.
Yes, but Duck, if it were tomorrow.
You go back
but
to
it's not.
The wins they've had, and you pointed out, and I know you acknowledged this a moment ago, but it was Sydney Swans who haven't won a game.
Yep.
Fremantle in round two, when Fremantle, that was probably the single worst game under Ross Lyon's coaching of his time at the Dockers.
Yes.
And I know they've improved in 2 weeks since. And then you go to last night. So I can't have him in that conversation for what it's worth.
No,
right now.
And I'm not saying they're going to win the premiership. I'm saying if they make the 8, I think they can win the premiership.
You get excited about the last thing you see.
We've got Ollie Wines to join us, so we'll get to Port Adelaide.
In that case, I'm very excited.
Carlton are interesting to me, Purple.
Yeah.
They have had unfettered access to the draft, I'm pretty confident, since 2004. So they got knocked out for obviously the issues they had in the early 2000s with overpaying salary cap and all the rest of it.
And that did impact on the 2002 and 3 drafts.
Yeah. And so that would have an impact on the club, no doubt about it. But from 2004 onwards, they have had unfettered access to the draft.
Yep.
So if you're not a Blues fan, I reckon probably if you are a Blues fan, you're even more strongly asking it, how can they be, given that a lot of that time they've been in the bottom half of the comp?
Mm.
Now, not always. They've played a few final series in that time and played pretty well in finals, actually. But I reckon if you went from 2004 to today, they spent more time at the end of the season in the bottom half than the top half of the ladder, I would suggest, without sort of doing the sum.
I reckon they
would have.
Yep.
Which means you've got ripping access to the draft.
Yeah.
All of those years. How can they be in 2017 in this list shape?
It is hard to believe when you throw it up into that context. And given that when we refer to that draft being the re-entry point for them in 2004, in 2005, 6 and 7, they got Murphy, Gibbs and Cruiser as number one picks.
One
they added Wietering as a number one overall.
But overall we're talking here too.
Overall. Yeah. Overall, not just good picks.
There was one year, Damo, where their first three or four picks, none of them hardly played any games at all. What year was that?
Certainly their re-entry year of 2004 wasn't a great draft.
I think it was more recently.
It may well have been. Mm. Yeah, they've had some... 2013, I think it was, BT, the one in question, where they got Blaine Bowkirst in.
Yeah, that's right. That's the one.
Their first pick.
Well, I think Bruce made a point last night to say first-round draft picks, the difference between Port Adelaide and the Blues last night, there was one difference in first-round draft picks between those two teams last night.
Yep.
But the thing about it is, you said it, they've got four on their list, number one overall draft picks.
Yeah.
And I know everyone says, well, you would say this, but North Melbourne have never had a number one overall draft pick in the history of the club. Mm. They've got four on their list at the moment, as well as all
and
the
three
rest.
Three in consecutive years.
Yeah, I mean, so how can you have this situation where they can be, in a game like last night, basically non-competitive?
Yeah, and that's another worry too, isn't it, Jim? Because of the quality component to it. I mean, we on Triple M discussed it as the match unfolded, delved into it quite deeply at halftime. I'm assuming, or maybe not, Doug, I didn't see your coverage in BT. Did you have a concern for the quality that Jim's team, Carlton, is dishing up? And as such, with the Friday marquee slot that the AFL has created, it's a quality that is just not passing it.
Look, I think the fact that it is Anzac Day weekend, Damo.
No, say what you think of last night's game, Doug.
Last night's game? Well,
And the fact that the AFL scheduled Carlton into it.
I'm not a doomsdayer like you, Damo. I actually think that they were competitive for a half.
They fell away. They weren't competitive.
They were competitive. They held the game up.
You don't have to pump the game up on every time just because your broadcaster tells you to.
I'm not pumping the game up. It was a terrible game to watch, especially in the first half. But what they did is they held Port Adelaide up for a half, and then the floodgates opened after half time. Robbie Grave was on fire and the game was all over. But until then, they gave themselves shots at goal. They gave themselves chances. They just don't have the quality. Those young kids, they're going to get better. There were so many positives that I saw from last night. Marchbank, he's getting better and better. He used the ball better last night. Great intercept marks. I mean, Wietering led, I reckon, at one point last night, BT. I reckon he led eight times. They chipped the ball around the fringe. You were there, Damo.
Like they lost and by 90
points. If I was Wietering, just listen. Wietering's led eight or nine times. Eventually, the ball gets turned over. That poor young kid getting slaughtered. Eventually, he goes down back and says, okay. Bolton puts a hand up and says, we'll send the kid down back and at least put him in the play because that's where all the play was. Damo, we all know where Carlton are at. We all knew. You can't tell me going to that game, walking through the gates, that you didn't know that was coming last night.
No, that's what Damo's saying.
Because he knew exactly it was coming.
It shouldn't be on Friday night. That's all your point is.
Well, look, it's a big weekend, Anzac Day weekend, and I would have thought, given that Anzac Day and Anzac Eve with the big game on the Monday night, that maybe for the first time, they thought, let's start the week off a little softer.
There's also a lot of manoeuvring with Fox as well.
So
you've got to give to get. Mm. And this may have been one of the things they had to give.
Maybe, Bristle. But I said to you on the rush hour before it even started, this game smacks to me of a Saturday twilighter, not a Friday night standalone marquee. And I think that's what ended up happening, bro.
I enjoyed it. 43,000 there last night.
BT, don't do what your broadcaster in the AFL tells you to do. Tell us what you thought
I've
of it.
I've never been told what to do.
No, you do when it comes to the Friday night slot, now that you're back hosting it as you were last night.
Well, nice hosting, Brian.
And whispering, Brian.
There was 43,000 people there last night. Port Adelaide
were
flat out getting 15,000 to a game. Carlton's struggling, and they got 43,000 people there to
remember
watch.
A few years ago, they had the tarpaulins.
This is what I'm saying.
The
so there were 43,000 people there that disagreed with your negative attitude, Damo.
If you're trying to pump this game up, Duck, you're actually losing credibility.
I'm not pumping the game up.
Well, you're pumping
itself.
Carlton up. They've lost the game of football by 90 points.
I've said that Carlton are no good, and they won't be as good as they were last year. So they haven't bottomed out yet, is my opinion.
Seriously?
On Carlton.
Yes. Well, how does that get back to Jim's point?
Because they've got a new coach that's come in. He's decided to go into a different direction. That's going to take a little bit of time. He's playing a lot more youngsters. The youngest, they had more teenagers in that team than any team in the history of the game. You know, that's why.
I have not concerns as we go to a break, Purple, but I've said this so many times. They were, in the 80s and 90s, the biggest power in football, Carlton. They were they had more swagger. I've said it many times. Yep. They were the shiniest dollar in the game. Where have they gone to?
Yep.
And I love Mark Lejeune-Dechaye. He's a genuinely good man, and I think he's, you know, working his ass off to get this club back to where they were, but geez, it's taking a long time.
Yeah. It was 1999 when they made a grand final, and in 2000 and 2001 were really competitive at the high end of the ladder. So the demise has come in the last 16 years. And you reminded us, I think, last year when you discussed this too, they were not just among the big four.
The number one.
At that time.
This happened at Richmond as well, of course.
It did, and it's taken them a long time too, Bristol. It's amazing. Last night, Port Adelaide way too good for Carlton to the tune of 90 points, and their very, very impressive young on-baller, Ollie Wines, had 35 of it and was a big part of the win. Joins us now, Triple M Footy. Ollie, welcome, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nice to wake up on a Saturday morning after a performance like that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it certainly is, and we don't really get to play Friday night footy too often, and to have a game at Adelaide Oval in front of our diehard supporters is really good for us, and obviously to play a good game of footy and get a result like that's really positive and sets up your weekend.
Yeah, good turn up last night, 43,000, Ollie. Just the way you played at times last night, the beautiful, particularly in the first half, couple of times where you brought it through the middle of the ground, multiple overlap running handballs. I thought it got it back to a couple of years ago when you were playing your absolute best footy. Looked really smooth and slick.
Yeah, it did. We've changed a few things during the week to the way we come out of stoppage and being able to link with our wingers and aggressive halfbacks that are running off the halfback line. So that's a really important facet of our game, getting our run involved. Obviously, a fair bit of link up throughout the centre square and getting into forward line. Perhaps our entry into forward line to finish off a few of those plays wasn't quite good, but we'll fix that up.
I'm interested in Trengrove as well. Played back and then went forward last night. I would assume when Homsch comes back, he'll fit into that key role in defence, and that will probably mean that maybe Trengrove can go forward and help your other forwards and take the pressure off them. Is that the way you'd see it?
Yeah, it is. Look, Jacko's a bit of a swing man at the moment, obviously, with Homer out. If I was playing down in back line at the moment, I'd be the tallest player there. So yeah. We're a bit undersized down there, and they probably, GWS took advantage of that undersized back line last week. But Jacko's incredible with his flexibility. He found out an hour before the game yesterday that he was going to be going back. So he's really good there. He's able to play a number of different roles, and obviously good to see him get a bit of a reward on the scoreboard yesterday.
Ollie, well done last night. I reckon you were probably about 5 minutes away from winning the medal, and then Robbie Gray
kicks. Won the Triple M votes from Juddy last night.
Well, there you go. You got the votes from Juddy. That's probably more important. But I want to ask you about your new little sidekick, Pal Pepper. He's a man-child just like you were coming into the AFL system. How good's he been for you and your game, given that very similar in the middle of the ground?
Yeah, he's been awesome to have that extra big body in there. Just bashing and crashing. I think it's really good for us, our midfield. Obviously, we've got Brad Ebert there, who's in incredible form at the moment. We're three pretty big bodies together, and I guess when we're on, and not a lot of midfields can handle that inside and with that contested ball, which is something that we want to make a focus on going into games. And Sammy and Evo have been enormous with giving me a chop out there.
We don't get all the news over here, but is it true they've reported you two, they call you in Adelaide the Crash and Bash brothers?
I think that has been some headlines around the traps, but hopefully that'll make it into Victoria soon.
So where do you feel you fit into the competition as a whole at the moment, Ollie? I mean, a win last night against a lower team in Carlton, been beaten by a couple of better sides, although you did beat Sydney in round one as well. Where do you think you fit in?
We understand where we're at the moment, and we know we're probably not up to the standard of the probably the top two teams, probably GWS and Adelaide at the moment. We played in the last 2 weeks, which is a really good test for us, and fortunately we're able to play good footy for portions of those games, but in the end they got over the top of us. So we understand we're a little bit off them at the moment, but just each game is a perfect opportunity just to level up for us. All 22 of us are on the same page each game, and we just want to keep taking progressive steps and move forward. So I guess you've got to be realistic in this competition, understanding where you are and not getting your head ahead of yourself. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Ollie, personally, five games into your fifth season in the AFL, and within those five games, you've managed to get yourself into Brownlow conversations, and I know there's a long way to go. What is it about what you've done in preparation and as it's unfolding in 2017 that has allowed you to elevate yourself up into the absolute elite, which you've always been purported to reach, but until this year probably hadn't quite? What is it about what you've done in by way of prep?
It probably comes down to a lot of one-on-one work with Vossi over the pre-season. There's obviously not too many more better players to learn over Voss than Michael Voss, and we made a big focus to work on my running pattern throughout the pre-season. I've always had a really good tank and been able to cover the ground pretty well for an inside mid, but just the areas I was running probably wasn't getting me the most bang for my buck. So we've done a little bit on that, just understanding where to run, understanding that you can't always get to the ball and sometimes there's smarter places to run. And I guess with that, a little bit of maturity and being able to, I guess, understand AFL footy a little bit better.
What about when you get back to the river and, you know, you go back to Echuca, your hometown, of course. Duck, it's well known in sport that he's only good at football and nothing else.
I used to go back and do a bit of barefooting back in Echuca.
What about yourself, Ollie? Are you a barefooter?
Oh, I am a barefooter, yeah.
Really? Whereabouts? Yeah. Which part of Echuca do you ski in?
There's only one area, so...
Well, the river, we know that.
Yeah, the Murray.
But what, you're at 5 Mile or you're Rich River? Where are you? Where
nah,
you skiing,
no, I'm around Maroole. So
I'm an operator there, mate. I know all about it.
So my folks got a house in town on the river, just at the port, and yes. We just drop the boat in at Vic Park and ski around Maroole, past Warparilla. Just, yeah, close to town.
Hey, by the way, just while we're speaking about Echuca, great Echuca Inn. Andy Preston had a really bad farm accident during the week. Best wishes to him as well. Gone.
Geez, I used to go back there with Brett Sands. You would have known his school, skiing school back there, Ollie, wouldn't you, Brett Sands?
Yeah, no, I'm a good mate of Sandy.
Well, just ask him about my prowess on the water.
Well, I went with the Omanis, of course, who are the world barefoot champions of recent years, Duck, rather than Brett Sands, who's 1940.
I want to straighten this up a little bit. Hey, Pollock, how important is he? I reckon he's a real barometer because when he was up and going a couple of years ago, you guys obviously played in that preliminary final and he seems to be back to his absolute best also.
Yeah, certainly. And look, a lot of his play relies on us inside mids getting the ball out into the right areas. And as BT said before, that chain out throughout the corridor gets him involved and he's got a really damaging left foot and can run and carry the ball. So our job is to get the ball to him. His game sort of dictated how we go about distributing it out. So if we're up and running like we are at the moment, he gets a lot of good ball and he's a really good barometer for us.
Speaks well, JB, doesn't he?
Yeah, very good. He's a high-quality man.
Like that was a little clip there to Pollock, just saying, us inside mids, get it out to the outside sort of receiver.
Hey, I want to know how things are going after hours with you, please. If you've got a lovely lady over there, how's it all tracking?
No, I've not settled down with anyone over here. Mum and Dad are not too keen on that because they think I'll get stuck in Adelaide, so they want me to come back to Victoria one day.
So they've put a ban on any company in Adelaide.
Yeah, permanent company.
Oh, I love that. Hey, well done last night. Played a ripping game of footy, and good luck for everything that's coming up for you.
Thanks, guys. Love your work.
Ollie Wine's a beauty. Hey, just before we get to the break, Robbie Gray, how good a player is he?
He's brilliant. And I know that you boys last night compared, you know, Robbie Gray to Dusty Martin. I think you had that discussion, did you, last night? You might have said it out on Twitter. He's absolute elite. He is right up there with the likes of Dangerfield and Fife and those guys. That's how good he is. I love the fact that he's gone back to playing more forward, sort of a forward mid, rather than mid, because I think when he went up to mid, yes, he's a very good midfielder, all Australian, all of that sort of stuff, but you can see what sort of damage he can do inside 50. He is he's just an unbelievable player.
If he could
player.
Kick straight, yeah.
Well, if he could kick straight, that quarter might have gone down as one of the best quarters we've seen for a long, long time, BT.
Yeah. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
You know what he does? You know,
yeah, he's talking about damage. I've never seen anyone do damage like Duck does in Adelaide, but anyway.
You know what he does? The whole time we're trying to work on TV, and I look over and he's got this big smirk
on his face.
It's just very hard to concentrate. He's even dragging Bruce down. Bruce is starting to sort of fall into the Triple M sort of...
Duck, you're talking to a man who's had to work with Bristle very closely now for 20 years. He is a unique operator.
He was first on the plane again today, too.
No, would have been. He sits on there for an hour.
He waits for an hour before they open the gates.
But you know what I love about him, though? He still hasn't worked out that 1A, there's a bulkhead there, and you've got less leg room than you have in economy. But he just wants it to be a flog.
I'm normally a 2A operator.
You're 1D today,
BT. But guess what? You're down into 1.
The bulkhead, you idiot.
I was in my car and driving out of the car park before you got off the plane.
Who picked Duck up?
It's unkempt. It's dishevelled. We've lost our way in the Triple M Saturday rub box. Bristle's up. He's almost threatened to evacuate the box.
And now, something else.
Now he's come back down. Duck's ready. I've never seen a man more comfortable with delivering these sort of things than Duck. He doesn't give a stuff. He's coming in a minute. But, Brian.
Pretty comfortable with himself.
You're an idiot. We need to know what's going on, because you said to me, middle of the week, you said, JB, come Saturday, I need some time and room because I've got something.
I'm really nervous.
Was that phone call you just made about 2 minutes ago? Yeah. Sorry, 3 minutes ago.
Look,
in the outbreak.
I want your guarantees that there will be no correspondence entered into at the end of the completion of my words.
Well, we need to be able to ask you questions.
No, I'm just going to say it.
Well, no, before you say that, we need to ask questions.
And move on.
All right, go on.
And no bomb.
Yeah, no, there'll be a bomb. No.
It's ready. Rosie's got it.
Hey, coach, this is a legend.
Oh, Bristle, don't try and apologise it through the microphone.
Hang on.
This is...
Start again.
Allegedly. All of this, right? Put lots of them in. A coach early in the year.
Right. There's 18 of them.
A sponsor early in the year.
Lots of them.
A game early in the year.
A home and away game?
There's been 37
home and
games.
Away game?
Sponsor was in the coach's box. Most sponsors say nothing in the box.
Which venue?
Frustration got the better of the invited sponsor in the box.
Oh, no.
He spoke. He was warned to say no more. Coach loses patience with the sponsor in the box, and contact occurs from the coach.
Oh, no!
He hit him.
Return contact from the sponsor. Sponsor denies being in the box, even though he was. And all sides have closed ranks. And that's all I've got to say.
Are you telling me? Are you saying...
No, I'm not saying... I told you, I'm not answering any questions.
A coach has clipped a sponsor who then clipped the coach back.
No, I'm not saying that.
But see, that's exactly what you're saying.
No, I'm not. I'm just reporting the facts.
Okay, now, Duck's question. Was it a JLT series game?
JLT or home and away game?
Because there's only 37 games played.
I don't know whether you heard me.
But it was a home and away game.
Not a guessing game.
Okay. So a home and away game.
This is just a little snippet on the tree.
Was the club... Is
should
the,
be in Scotty
okay,
Gullin
is the club, column. Is the club in is the club in question and the coach in question? Has it been a successful club?
I don't know who it is.
Is it a Melbourne club?
Is it a Melbourne club?
I don't even know who it is.
I'll put it to you, it's a Melbourne club.
All I've heard is it's happened.
It's happened.
But I actually don't know who it is.
You don't know whether it's a Melbourne club, how successful they've been, anything.
You said the sponsor had denied involvement. Have you spoken personally with the sponsor?
No.
How do you know he's denied it?
I heard he had.
So you felt the need to contact someone around him?
Damo, I said there'd be no correspondence entered into.
He's got very given
you no, all my antenna's gone right up on this.
I've given you all I know. It has all I can give you.
He's got very nervous about it. It'll take a big, brave sort of newsman or woman to break this.
All right, I'm going to limit it to the 10 Melbourne Victorian clubs.
All I'll say is I believe a very, very big newsman has been on the beat on this.
Oh.
Now, Brian, are you saying that the sponsor not only had contact made, but then made contact, and then after that, this is the bit that intrigues me, denies being there in the first place?
He did deny being there. All right. But he was there.
Is there vision of said incident?
No.
Is there vision of sponsor in said box?
No.
So he may not have been there?
No, he was. I'm quite sure he was.
All right, well,
that is, don't anyway, just let me go to you.
Let's just move on because
we're not going to move on.
I'm going to you as the newsman here. That is a massive story that a coach and a sponsor come into contact
within a game
because in the coach's box.
It's an area that the corporates love getting into, Jim, and a lot of clubs sell these packages. The coaches hate it, but they know they need to do it to support.
You've only got to get an opinionated one in there.
Yes.
It's a pretty big story, given that if a player, you know, burps the wrong way, it's sort of front page news.
It's not a big story. It's just a little brush over thing, we'll move on.
Well, it's a big story. A player goes and sort of jaywalks these days, and he's on the footy show, and he's on 360, he's on Talking Footy, he's done everything wrong, and you're saying that this isn't a big deal.
And coaches ask their players to show discipline at all times, and you're saying here that this particular coach didn't show discipline in his workplace?
I don't know. All I know is what I've said.
Why won't you name club?
Because I don't know the club or the person.
What I like about Brian in these situations...
But you've rung someone related to the person.
Yeah, and he didn't tell me which club or person.
What I like about it, Damo, we've seen this happen for a good 15 years, is Bristol, what he likes to do is just... lay a little touch paper, and then he likes to just light a quiet little match as if no one's looking, and he just gets it lit, and then he just wanders off.
I'm like a firebug.
And behind him, all hell breaks loose, and Bristol's just wandering off. All right, we'll have to follow that up. We'll move on.
So, actually, I hope you do follow up. Who is the biggest newsbreaker, media man in...
Just before we move on, Duck, we'll get to that. Western Bulldogs, no change. Brisbane out. Darcy Gardner in. Ben Keys.
So we all agree that Damo's the biggest sort of newsbreaker in the game, and across absolutely everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. Well, just have a little bit of a listen to this from Friday night footy last night.
Today they've actually announced a new commissioner, a woman by the name of Robin Bishop, who has a background in high-end business. She brings significant financial and investment experience to the AFL, having worked in Sydney with the Macquarie Group.
Damo, I'll just ask you a strange question. Is Robin Bishop actually a female, Damo, or have I got that wrong?
I thought she was.
I thought it was he.
You know what? I've actually got that wrong. A businessman, Robin Bishop. I'm glad you picked me up there.
He is the former.
I'm reading off the AFL website here now.
I can confirm Robin Bishop is a man, Duck.
How can the biggest of all time, the new commissioner? Oh, my God. Damo.
I know. Not a good moment.
Dot the I's and cross the T's.
Stas picked it up nicely.
Oh, wow.
Very good.
Speaking of bombs, Duck, what else has been floating around?
Look, there's been a lot of talk about this man, and I think it's a bit of it's been unjust because he's never been a high possession winner anyway, but Cyril Rioli of the Hawks, who been a lot of talk about his form, and let's be honest, he's not alone. There's been a few players for the Hawks not up to their usual form, but a few people have told me that there's a little bit of a pull to go back, I think, back to the Tiwi Islands. I think that's where he's from, I think.
Yeah.
Top end.
Yeah, they tell me that a few people just said, oh, no, I think he recently signed. He might have signed last year, Damo.
Yeah.
I'm not sure for
Relatively recently.
Recently. And he's sort of I get told he had to maybe be a little bit coerced into signing that, and there is a real pull for him to go home. Been an unbelievable player, and he's played obviously in all of the flags.
Hang on, within the contract he signed, Ducky, are you referring to here, or you're saying he'll serve out this contract?
I've heard he's a little bit homesick, and that might be part of the reason why
Guys, he'd be wondering himself, look, I've got these premierships under my belt. What else am I going to get out of the game?
And that's always there. And once again, I'm 100% sure whether, you know, any of this has got any truth to it, but you do hear things. And I've met Cyril. He's just such a wonderful, he's a kid to me, wonderful player. You want to see him back at his best, but you do. And there's so many players. We see it. Look what just happened to Cooper Cronk. I mean, Cooper Cronk's been in Melbourne his whole career, and he sort of says, well, I'm going to now do what's right for my wife.
Well, you just heard Ollie Wine say that, you know.
Well, that's right. So he's now, you know, sort of a wife that stood by him. He's now wants to go to Sydney, and, you know, maybe Cyril's feeling the same way. Don't know that for 100%,
Duck,
but I have heard that.
What you're saying is that they had to twist his arm to get him to sign and stay because he was almost out the door to go home.
I've heard they're very strong that he's looking
at. Who's they had to twist his arm?
I don't know.
Well, the club, probably.
Whoever wants him to sign for the...
Oh, this is someone connected with the club you've been speaking of?
Oh, listen, now he's trying to probe. No, I've got no idea. It's just,
what
once
if Duck
again,
answers that question?
What,
just
the I gut tell you feel, what, I'm it? Not going to do. I tell you what, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this little segment anymore. I'll
just
tell
a
you
gut
what,
feel, is it?
Because I'm not the newsbreaker, and at least I knew Cyril was a man. but I just feel, because what it is when you hear these things, it is a lot. There's a lot of rumour and innuendo, and we do hear a lot of that in the
game.
Yeah,
but Duck, I know you well enough. You're not going to bring that to the table unless you feel there's something. Well, that's what I would
think
of
you. The person that told me it was. You know, he was saying, but you know what? And it often happens. You hear, then people will say, no, that's not the case, and you get shot down for it. But a person that I trust said that's what he believes was the case.
Damo, it's not unusual. It's not the first time it's happened that a footballer says, you know what? I reckon I might have a fork in me, and the club goes and says, well, look, we would love you to have another crack at it, another pre-season, another, because we think you've got more. And now, often in that situation, the player does the extra pre-season and plays very, very well. I reckon. It was just before I started North, but I reckon Glenn Archer's a classic example of that. I reckon Dean Laidley said to him, mate, we want you to go around again. And Arch said, oh, I reckon I've got a fork in me. And he played that last season, and I think was very high in the best and fairest, and had a ripping year. So it's happened before Bristol, hasn't it?
Well, apparently.
And Cyril, the Rioli family are very tight and strong in the North End.
Duck, I just want to get it clear. Is it like just an intuitive thing from you, or is it... Someone has told you this.
Someone has told me. It's not an intuitive.
And this person is really well connected.
I just don't make stuff up.
Duck, put the same level of scrutiny on his story.
The person that told me this, BT, is, well, and if he's if it's made to be incorrect, he will certainly feel the wrath of, because I've gone with it. And now I feel sort of under pressure. I hope that at the end of the day, you hope that Cyril, you know, finishes his contract out, plays some good footy. And
I haven't heard that, Doug. That's a big
suggestion. Let's not blow it into bigger than what it is.
No, don't have it both ways. Don't put it out in the public domain and then pull away from it. I mean, you've just done that. So don't own it.
Don't do that, Doug.
Well, I am very glad that they were successful, Duck, because the AFL landscape would be poorer without Cyril Rioli playing.
Unbelievable.
Chris Mew, I reckon. Remember, he was a Mornington Peninsula unit. Yep. And I reckon Yabby Jeans had to drive down to his joint about 3 years in a row and get him to continue playing.
I don't recall that one.
He sort of said, I've done enough. Kept sort of winding him up because
it was worth it.
They couldn't replace him.
It was worth it.
He was a unique player that they needed in their back half. All right, we need to get to a break. Full news next.
Are you still contracted to Nike, Duck?
Would I still contracted to?
Yeah.
Georgie Lawler, great man.
You were sitting with him on the plane.
Yeah,
I saw him.
He's a great man. Hey, by the way, would that club that you were talking about, would that be the same club as the man I was talking about? Would it? You just had this look in your eye.
I don't know who it is.
Okay.
It's like, seriously, Berlin in the late 1945s. There's bombs landing everywhere. But we need to get straightened up here and do a bit of news with Purple. Before we do, just a reminder that Daniel G and Syracuse for Dogs fans is about 15 minutes away. A man with unfeasibly small teeth. who is going to be speaking to us about the Dogs, but also about Bob Murphy, who's about to play game number 300. Just watching the umpires out here, Bristol, before we get to the news, doing all of their warming up, and of course that's very necessary. I like all of that. The boundary umpires.
Yeah.
Without wanting to sound condescending, I wouldn't have thought it's a tough skill to throw a ball over your head.
18 metres.
How do they so often get it wrong?
I know. Did you see last night about three of them?
Well, how's it possible?
I don't know. They just can't reach the 18 metre point.
Like, if you're going to get it wrong by throwing it further, not less.
Yeah.
You know? Throw it further into the ground.
Well, they are whippets. But
Bristol, it can't be hard to throw a football over your head.
No,
surely,
I would have thought I could go
at
out
the elite level
there and do it successfully.
Purple, what have we got by way of news, please? Jager O'Meara?
Yeah, we'll start with him, JB, on the back of what Duck said about Cyril Rioli. So we've got a Hawthorne theme still running. As we know, missing his
stop going with that
second consecutive game, Jim. I'll just go back to a correspondence with Jason Bird, who's the Hawthorne footy operations boss, late in the week. And just so we can just put everything on the table, he said that Jager trained today, and that was Thursday. He's made really good progress from the knock on the knee, but the knock was substantial, so we're taking a very conservative approach. We'll be guided by his function. At this stage, it's not 100%. So we'll wait another week. But the fact that it was a second week, BT, given this time last week, they were saying it was only going to be a 1 week missing for Jager O'Meara in that Geelong game last week. The fact that he's a second game, two games in, or what is it now, four games into his career at Hawthorn, which comes on the back of 2 years off with the knee. It is the same knee. It's the club is saying it's a different part of the knee and it's not related to the nature of the condition that had him out for 2 years. But it's not ideal. It's not ideal. And there are enough people, Jim, saying that it is far from ideal and that there may well be another week on top of what they've already said.
Well, if we wait one more week, we'll know, won't we?
Yeah, but we relied on them last week when they kept saying it's only a one-week injury. He will be back for the West Coast game, that being tomorrow.
I'm starting to think, but I'd give it one more week. And if he's out again in one more week, then I think you probably
Is it a knee of the chronic variety? I don't know enough about it.
Adam Cooney style?
Yeah, is that where it's actually going to stop him from ever being the player he can be?
It's hard to know, isn't it, given he missed two full years and has had treatment overseas at times. What they are saying, though, is the knock that was sustained against the Gold Coast in round three was of a nature that didn't link it to the past.
So more
problems.
Collision rather than any of the other.
Yeah, but it has blown up, I've been told, and is still affected, but to the point where they didn't want to risk him again on this current Sunday. The Hawthorn West Coast game, look, really good game in so many ways to look at it. But the Richmond Melbourne game on the Monday night, to me, appeals as the match of round
Before five. We get to Richmond, and I agree with you, but Hawthorn West Coast, Duck had some really strong things to say on the rush hour during the week, and I agree with him. I reckon for Adam Simpson, he's got to be winding him up like a top for this game, saying we have got to make a statement at this ground and we've got to make a statement as a club in Melbourne. So I think it's a huge game for them. And, you know, it's an obvious thing to say, Duck, but watch Sam Mitchell, I would have thought, against his old club. And with everything that happened, I reckon he'll be saying, right, just stand by. You know, they're going to be a midfielder down.
He's not playing.
He's out.
Okay, well, therefore, that's not going to happen. But the problem for West Coast has always been when they play against Hawthorn, their midfield just can't go with them. This is a chance for that to really be flipped on its head.
I agree with you. And you know what? And I know the modern-day coaches don't do this too often, but if I was Simo, I would get vision of the grand final a couple of years ago, and I'd get vision of the game they played there last year against the Hawks, and I'd show them the physicality and the insipid efforts that West Coast showed in two of those games. When I say insipid, that's a strong word, but there really were a couple of occasions in that grand final and also in the game last year where they just got intimidated by the Hawks. Mm. It's now their turn to intimidate and really take on Hawthorn on the MCG.
Especially around the footy, Duck. Especially Gaff and Pritis and Shuey and these blokes. Yeah. You've just got to put the absolute flamethrower to them.
This is West Coast moment to tell the competition and all of us nitwits that sit up here in our ivory chairs.
Perfect seat.
That they are the real deal and they can win on the MCG. Albeit Hawthorn not anywhere near their best. So if they can't beat Hawthorn now, they are not going to beat anyone on the MCG during the finals.
And that other game you spoke about, the Monday night game, Richmond and Melbourne, of course. The tractor friend that we used to work with us here, he actually said, I think somewhere during the week, that he thought it was the biggest game since Melbourne, I think, played in a grand final.
Really?
This is correct. 2000.
He thought it meant that much.
Wow.
to Melbourne, and it was that important to Melbourne, given their current situation.
Well, you could argue it means as much to Richmond, because if they get through that game, and if Adelaide Crows get through it,
one versus two,
wait till round six when they play a top of the ladder clash. So I find that extraordinary. Still some injury doubts about Dustin Martin. There's a groin issue there. I know people are saying it. I'm not shooting it down. I'm hearing he's going to play, but there is some doubt about it.
That changes things massively if he doesn't play, because he is a massive part of that Richmond team.
Well, I reckon I put them both in the same category, Melbourne and Richmond. Even though Richmond have won four games straight, question as to whether outside of Sydney, which was the top team they beat? Was it?
It was West Coast.
West Coast,
and the other teams they've beaten as we speak, 13, 14, 15.
But JB, would have you said that at the start of this year? Would have you said that you put Richmond and Melbourne in the same category at the start of the year?
Yeah, I reckon. Well, for me, because you just don't know, you know. In Melbourne last week, that third quarter was just so disappointing. To allow seven straight to be kicked against you by Freo, you know, and where they were at it.
Richmond are a better team than Melbourne.
Well, Richmond, Richmond are a completely different team to what we've seen. Now, last year they didn't play the finals. They played the three finals before that.
And little things make a difference.
Massive things.
Prestia. Like,
well, Caddy, yeah. Prestia,
in the midfield.
Van Kervis.
Pressure off Cochin.
I mean, it is the whole dynamic, bringing in Butler. Rioli's got obviously better. Constania is quick and
Caddy speedy.
Yeah, Caddy. I mean, the whole dynamic of this team has completely changed.
It's also bringing in someone like a Blake Carousella Duck as an assistant coach from Geelong, who is said to be doing a lot of good work with how they're setting up the Tuesday game. And you touched on the way this round is structured, Duck, about there being the appealing games on the back end of it, whether it's by design or not. But the appeal in a story sense, relates to Collingwood and its coach, Nathan Buckley, you would think, BT. And I know you get asked about this every single week in your relationships and contacts with Collingwood, but a 1-4 start, should that go against Collingwood? I don't expect it to happen till late in the piece, if indeed it does go down that path, but it's not going to be shaping up well for
And particularly with the Bombers, who aren't probably going to be regarded as one of the contenders.
Just getting back to Melbourne and Richmond, Bristol. Melbourne won two more games last year than Richmond. Who is closer to winning a flag right now?
Out of those two?
Out of those two, right now.
And not just on now, but I would say Richmond.
Would you?
I would. I know you will say the young guys at Melbourne and all that sort of thing, but
They've banked young talent at Melbourne, I reckon, better than the Tigers. Tigers have brought some in that are good, no doubt about it. But Melbourne have got a backlog of...
Melbourne haven't got a team that can win the grand final this year.
No, I'm not saying this year. I'm saying in the future. Who's going to win a flag first out of those two?
Well, I reckon Richmond have got a team that can win the grand final this year or next year, whereas Melbourne haven't.
We need to get an M Sport update.
I can't. You're saying at the start of this year you would have said Melbourne had the team. I mean, Richmond had a team to win a flag in the next 2 years.
No, I wouldn't.
You just said that.
I probably wouldn't have said that at the start of the year. But since I've seen all those things that we just spoke about, Prestia, Caddy.
But a flag.
Brisbane, Collingwood and Carlton BT.
You sit here and talk about what I say about Port Adelaide. Hang on. We didn't know about Constania, Butler and all of these guys. We didn't know any of that. We now do. After 4 weeks, we know that what they've added. We didn't know how Prestia was going to go. We didn't know whether Caddy was a good buy or not. But all of these things have added up to a positive for Richmond, giving them a little edges there. So all of a sudden, they are a better team than they were last year.
Yeah, I agree. But you
and they are a better team than Melbourne.
You set a flag in 2 years. You shot me down for saying Port Adelaide could win the flag if they make the eight.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous.
You think Richmond can?
Yeah, I think they can. I think they're going well.
The Brisbane Lions taking on the Western Bulldogs. Just a sec, we speak to Daniel Dew in Syracuse. Some social media, the family have spoken.
Yeah, on Twitter, Jim, Jory Linscott likes what BT said about the boundary umpires and the fact that BT said he could just go out there and do it, being a boundary umpire. Triple M, let's make this happen, which I don't think that's a bad idea. BT, your views on the Richmond Footy Club claiming that they can win a flag in the next 2 years, that's been received, shall we say, in mixed ways by the Triple M family out here.
Yes.
Liking your work, Duck, and not so much mine.
All right. We need to get down to Nerilee Meadows. He does a magnificent job on the boundary. And she has with her one of the assistant coaches of the Western Bulldogs, but also a star in his own right and a long-term teammate of Bob Murphy's in Daniel G and Syracuse. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much, JB. Daniel, you're not just a former teammate. Bob described you as family this week. What does it mean to you to watch him run out in game 300?
Oh, I'm quite privileged, obviously, to be there for the whole journey. And, you know, I'm biased and champion gets thrown around a lot, but I definitely think he's a champion of our game. And glad I'm amongst it and watch it on level two, and hopefully he puts on a show for us.
Gee, you're not making this about you. This is Bob's 300th today.
It is, JB. Thanks for reminding him about that. Well, it's been all about him this week.
That's
so
true.
We're all getting a bit sick of it.
But, yeah, exactly.
Are we giving him too much Bob love?
Maybe a little bit. He said that yesterday with us that, you know, he doesn't like the limelight. And I think he likes it a little bit. But now it's time to get the win for him and have a couple of beers and celebrate tonight.
Gee, one last question on Bob. Obviously watched him over all of those 300 games. Would you agree that he's got better in his last 50 than his first 250?
Yeah, pretty close. Like, even though there was that knee in there, he surprised me, to be honest.
You don't have to agree with that.
How well he's come back from that knee. He was obviously an All-Australian halfback captain the year before, so
that's right.
He was playing really well. I really liked him as a centre-half forward, Duck. For a guy that's 6 foot to play centre-half forward, took second most marks that year. So they're probably the 2 years that stand out for me when he was at his peak. And I think that might have been around the 150 to 200 mark in terms of games.
AG, a couple of little changes around the fringes over the last couple of weeks. I see Caleb Daniel still out of the side. And these guys obviously not playing up to where they were last year, but it's also to give them a little bit of a shake-up and shake them out of the lethargy?
Yes and no. I think... you know, we've got a lot of depth in our footy club, and if you're not performing, and those guys, as you said, BT, probably haven't reached the levels. And to be honest, as a group, we haven't reached the levels that we wanted to this year so far. We always knew it was going to be a challenge the first month after starting a little bit later, but we're really keen to crank it up because we've been sporadic within game, and we've had some good moments, but it hasn't been as consistent as what we would have liked. If those guys aren't playing up to that level, then we can bring other guys in and hopefully they can perform.
Gee, Cloak out of the team today with the rib injury sustained last week, did a certainly more than serviceable job in the four matches he played. Biggs comes in to cover him. What will that mean for you today and the weeks that Cloak is out?
It means we've got to change things up, forward of the ball especially. But we played pretty well with a smaller forward line last year. I suppose that's the element of difference this year when Cloakie's been there. That historically, the Bulldogs teams haven't really had that power forward. So it'll be a change. You'll probably see some different players down there and hopefully they can perform for us. As you said, he's been serviceable for us. But, you know, that element of surprise for the opposition and not knowing what we're going to go with, hopefully we can get a head start on him with that.
Yep. And Bontempelli, would he be one that would maybe have a greater percentage of game time down forward in, as a result of Cloak not being there?
You're robbing Peter to pay Paul a bit when you do that. But we'll analyse the game, see how well he's going as a midfielder. If they play someone on him, we can definitely move him forward. He's, you know, 194 and he's a real target for us down there. So we'll look at that within game.
Joe, was that a plan coming into this year, given that you won the grand final last year and you always knew you were going to have a few different players back, Cramery, Cloak, obviously Bob Murphy back. Is it that unpredictability that you want in your team? Like, we don't know whether Johannesson will start forward today or back, or whether Bob will start forward or back. And obviously that flexibility, and that's what has made Hawthorn so strong for so long.
Yeah, I think you've got to try and stay ahead of the pack, and maybe that is our point of difference this year. Mm. What we've seen, though, is the four teams we've played, they've come at us hard. I know we should have been prepared for that, and maybe they've got us on the back foot in those games. But, we've got guys that can play half-back, and you can't fit them all into that back rotation. So we have to find other places to play them. That is an element of surprise. But I think the way Bevo coaches, you've got to be able to play two positions. That's how we throw the magnets around, and hopefully that keeps us in front of the opposition.
So that could be said of every player in the team, G? Got to play two?
Yeah, pretty much, BT. Yeah. Even if you look at Fletcher Roberts, who's a mainstay at fullback, we still think, if it's not going well for him, he can go forward. That's something Bevo's definitely brought to the footy club, and something we definitely preach.
That's a good thing, JB, if you can get that like in every player.
Hey, Gia, have you been a bit like me, disgusted at some of the bandwagon jumpers that have just, the flags arrived and suddenly, you know, the Luke Darcy's, the Nathan Browns, and I'm going to throw Simon Beasley in there as well, just suddenly arrived back at the club thinking they're Christmas when they've had bugger all to do with it?
Well, Darcy's the reason for it, isn't it?
Well, that's
what I'm hearing. I'm hearing he appointed the coach, he did everything.
And, shameful.
Yeah, the big Duke, he's got his head wobble up, hasn't he?
Brownie abandoned you to go to the Tigers for money. Suddenly he's back.
Didn't he?
Beezer's still making bathers in Bali. He thinks he's Christmas.
We're a forgiving bunch at the Dogs, but let's be honest, Nate's never going to be welcome, especially from our supporters. He chased the cash. Maybe his close friends will welcome him back, but those supporters still remind him that he did chase the money when he left to Richmond.
Don't let him back. Yeah. Hey, good luck today, mate. Thanks for joining us. We love having you.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having
me. Daniel Jan Siracusa, former star himself of the Dogs.
Now, there's an assistant at a footy club that you just love talking to.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, he's a beauty anyway, Jim.
Got a smile on his face.
No, but it's just a good interview.
Oozes connectivity.
Just good. It's a good footy chat.
Hey, Bob Murphy, let's chat about him for a sec. 300th game today. He is one of the most talked about players in football, Bob Murphy.
Only the last 2 years.
It's been amazing, hasn't it? He's suddenly become this sort of Bob Dylan figure in football.
Still haven't seen a photo of the Premiership captain coach.
On the dais. I mean, it was just, the whole thing was just quite amazing, wasn't it? Do we separate that from his actual playing ability, or has it just become this whole sort of mythical bubble? I'm sort of at a loss a bit with Murphy to describe exactly what he is.
I listened to him the other night, just before BT, I listened to him the other night in an interview, and he was asked that question that you just asked then, JB.
Yep.
And he said he doesn't know what it is. He said the fact that he obviously was writing an article for Fairfax Media and The Age and obviously doing 360 and a few other things. And you know, it just, I guess the, I don't know, I guess people had an interest in
Gerard's taking him under his umbrella.
No, but they had an interest in the way he thought about footy and life. And it's sort of gone from there. But it's really happened over the last 3 years. Once again, also, which has coincided, BT, with which I think has been his best footy, which has been the last 50 or 60 games.
Just a little thing, and not to be derogatory of him at all, but I remember when I was at the Dogs a few years back, but Scotty Clayton, who was the then recruiting manager, recruited him and thought that he was capable then, in early days of winning, he thought he could win one or two Brownlow medals.
Fair income.
So that's what they thought of him at the start. And he was highly regarded. He wasn't something that developed slowly and all of a sudden they went, wow, look at this guy. They thought they had a beauty right from the start.
Yep.
That's what they really believe.
And he's been a beauty. Yeah. I mean, 300 games, he's been... So he's absolutely delivered on that. I mean, they could not... I reckon if you went back and asked Scotty Bristol and any of the people at the Dogs at that time, they would say that return on investment's been absolutely brilliant.
Well, 300 games. They've got another one playing 300 games probably this year. As Matty Boyd's going to play his 300 games. They have a habit of getting players to 300 games, the Dogs.
And, BT, what he has done even in the four games he's return this year, he's had impact, hasn't he? If you go back to the first comeback game against Collingwood, where he, you know, the first possession he got, or his first handful of possessions, he was wheeling around either side, putting that knee and knees, plural, under all sorts of pressure, and providing that role that they didn't have for most of last year, and one that's going to be crucial to what they do this year.
No, he's going to enjoy today, and so he should, with all his family and friends. 300 games, great achievement for Rob Murphy. And the Western Bulldogs at the moment are warming up at the Coventry end of the ground, the right of your radio dial. The Brisbane Lions have been out there a very long time. They are a young and unknown outfit, Bristol, this Brisbane Lions team, aren't they? There's about five or six when you go down the list that you think, right, oh, well, I know what he's about. I know what Rich is about. I know what Robinson's about. I know what Martin's about. Zorko probably now. But there are plenty in there that you just said. Rockcliffe, obviously. Lots in there that you think, well, they've played less than 50 games. And I've got no idea what they're going to bring to the table.
And they've got five players at the top end of games that are about to play 150 games. Bastanac, Robinson, Beams, Rich and Rockcliffe are all about the same in terms of games, all around the 130, 140. The one for me today is Josh Shackey.
Yep.
I haven't seen Josh Shackey play live yet since he's been at Brisbane.
Okay.
So I want to see what he can do. I noticed he was just warming up in the ruck there before, and obviously he can go forward. He was a forward when he was at Assumption College. But I'm really interested to see whether he is grab this game yet and whether he's going to be an absolute star of it. Certainly got the build for it.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of him, have we?
No.
And certainly not live. I mean, you don't get a true indication of how they're going. But you know what? When you look through their side, they've got a little bit going. Daniel Rich can play. Yeah. He seriously can play it. And right now, Martin and Rockcliffe are the best combination in the competition for Ruck to Ruck Rover. They are in fine form, is Stephen Martin and Rockcliffe.
Back to Shacky Bristol. He reminds me a bit of Darcy Moore. He's a bit more athletic, a bit taller and maybe jumps at the footy. You know, he's a bit, he maybe end up more powerful, but very similar style.
Left footer, yeah.
Yeah, just a really athletic sort of, you know, one of those guys who gets around the forward 50 and roams, and he's got plenty of tricks.
You can't be just a mark kick player, though, in this competition. It shows if you're going to be a 10-possession player, say 10 to 14, no, maybe 15 on a really good day like a Tom Hawkins, you know what you have to be? You have to be almost unbeatable one-on-one for starters.
That's why I'm looking at him today, because I've looked at him in the middle there, and the weight that he has lost in his legs, which says to me, someone has said exactly what you're saying. Mm. Hey, mate, you can't just sit down here. You've got to get up the ground. You've got to be able to run the ground.
Well, yeah, you've just got to find other ways to get the ball. There are going to be days where you're playing on a defender that just gets, he spoils the ball every time you go near it. So therefore, how else are you going to get the ball? You've got to say, okay, well, I still want to get the ball 15, 20, 25 times today. It's not going to be by marking it, because I've got a guy every bit as athletic. So, you know, that's the thing. You cannot be one-dimensional. Just like Gia said, all the Bulldogs players have got to play two positions.
That was interesting, wasn't it? Every player on their list has to be able to play in two positions.
I haven't heard anyone ever say that before,
I've never heard that said before. No. And I would have thought that
list management,
that would be one thing they'd look at when they bring a kid on.
Yeah.
It's a really good point.
Duck, as we're talking about taller Brisbane Lions players, what have you made in the short time he's been in the game of Eric Hipwood, who is moving very well, I feel, for someone in his second season of footy?
Haven't seen a lot.
They're
big raps on him.
They're massive raps on
defender,
him, Jim.
Very skinny.
No. Yep. You know what he is? He's a very good mark.
Yes.
He's an extremely good mark. But I have not seen a lot of him live. Yep. But the one thing I have noticed is exactly that. I love the way he reads the ball. He's going to be a good intercept marker.
Yep. And maybe go forward and do a
that's
really
right.
good job.
He'll, he'll get stronger. He's not a one-on-one. He's not a real good, like, sort of strongly built player yet. But I love the way he reads it.
Yeah. 19 years of age, they're huge reps on him.
They love him.
They love him. And they, because he can play both ends, he can go back and, as Duck said, intercept mark beautifully overhead, but then forward. And he's kicked, 17 goals in his 14 games? So that shows
it's
you that he can,
for
can
someone
go forward
in a struggling team.
Yeah, they are very, very, very happy with him. And Doc Rowan White's been good enough to jump on. We've got about 2 minutes left. Hey, Doc, welcome to you, by the way.
Thanks, JB.
Jager O'Meara, tell us, Damo was just talking about the concerns around him playing and what's going on with his knee. What do you know?
Well, look, I think we've got to look at the two-week break he's had so far with some caution as to how long further weeks he needs to have off, because he's got that right knee injury, which is a patellar tendonitis. He's had several operations. He's missed 2 years of footy, and he's had a cartilage issue as well. Hawthorn got him over here. They had seemingly a very good pre-season and got up for those first two games. And now with the concept of a knock on the knee, whether it's a knock or whether it's something else, he's got knee soreness. And I think that's the essence of what his issue is. Hawthorn will treat him as a medium to long-term prospect. Damo, you probably know the length of his contract, but as I understand, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who saw what his history was with his knee would expect that he's not going to play the whole year. I think it's not unfair to think that he may get through a half of the year.
What, for the rest of his career, it'll be the same every year? Or?
I'd say this year, BT.
Right,
I mean, with that sort of issue, patellar tendonitis can be a little unpredictable. The club says he's well and truly over it, but he only had an arthroscopy, as I understand, late last year, and he had a cartilage issue as well. So the whole biomechanics of his knee is somewhat complicated. His right knee, his dominant knee.
The specifics of this latest setback, Doc, they're saying it was a knock in the round three game against Gold Coast Suns. Is that your understanding of it? And do you feel that he may still be missing one, maybe two more beyond this point?
Well, I think when they said it was only a one-week injury and now it's two, you've got to say his return at this point is unpredictable. I think what we can say, he's got knee soreness. The club say it's a knock. I mean, we all used to say that, Damo, in the old days, to hide maybe something that might be a little bit more sinister. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case with Hawthorn, but with Jager O'Meara, I think they're treating him very cautiously. They want to see him back playing footy on a regular basis. He'll be back maybe in a couple more weeks.
Thanks for that, Doc. Doc Rowan White, the number one medical presence in football.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.